You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
You just want to, like, do a little tongue action, too? No.
We're dangerously close to making out.
I wish the listeners could see how close you guys are to making out right now.
Why isn't this working? Where's the speaker on the system?
I don't know anything about the DS.
It's on the top.
Definitely not down there.
Whoa.
Listeners, Greg is playing Rock Band 3 for DS.
I am.
And apparently liking it a lot.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's unplugged with a whole bunch of fixes.
Oh, so better. You're going to underrate it again?
No, I'm going to overrate it.
Okay, good.
I've already started writing the review in my head, and the beginning of it will start with me talking about how people always ask me, you know, oh, do you ever regret your reviews? And I always say, only one, and that I underrated Rock Band Unplugged. I always feel bad about
with
that.
With an 8? Did you give an 8?
I gave an 8.3, and I should have given an 8.5 at least.
Oh,
because I played
yeah,
it for like 6 months later.
It's a world of difference.
This was back in the day when we did the decimals, and if it wasn't an 8.5, we didn't give it editor's choice. I played the game for another 7 months until I got the PSP Go, and I couldn't transfer my save.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Greatest mistake of your life, you think?
No. Grace was making my not wearing my retainers. I once had perfect teeth, and then I said "F you" to the orthodontist, and they wear retainers. Yeah. And now, one day when I have money again, I'm gonna get Invisalign and pay out the balls to get some freaking thing.
Your mom paid a lot for those retainers.
I know. God, I feel so bad. They paid for all the braces, and then I was like the most spoiled brat I could be. If you're listening, kids, don't do that. Wear your retainers.
Wear your retainers. That's the moral.
And also,
of this
here's
story.
The other thing to say. When first off, he lied to me, the orthodontist, a few times, and then they gave you the things, and they never stressed to you. Your teeth will move. Your teeth will.
Really?
They're gonna move. They never did to me at the time.
Oh, that's weird.
I'm telling you right now, you can trust Greg Miller. Your teeth are going to effing move, kids. Wear the damn retainers.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Jack DeVries.
Hey.
You already heard Greg Miller at length, and Ryan Clements is also here.
How's it going?
So Jack and Ryan Clements are our Connexperts in the office here.
Did you think about that one for a while?
No, on the way when we were walking down here to the podcast, I came up with that one.
I like
good.
It.
Connect is here. You guys have both reviewed a bunch of games for it. What do we think? What do we think about Connect?
Yep.
I was going to wait for you to chime in unless you'd like me to start.
Yeah, no, go for it. Let's see.
Why did you say yeah?
No, I was just like, yep.
Before you get started, I want to say I love the Paper Craig playset. It's amazing.
Isn't this great?
And you can dress Craig with your hair, Jack?
It's my old hair. They know that I no longer have the Rainbow Mohawk.
Wow.
And the Optimus Prime helmet, which I used to give rants on the Nintendo Voice Chat podcast.
If listeners aren't up to date, where you were talking about fan art on the wall here. Obviously, all the podcasts are represented. There's some new Nintendo Voice Chat fan art here that is excellent.
It's really, really good. Anyway, Clements on Kinect.
Yes. So for the most part, I think the hardware has great potential. And there have been a couple games that I think all myself, Jack, and Arthur Geese, who is also reviewing Kinect games, we enjoy, you know?
Yep.
But there's also going to be, like, with any launch of hardware or a console, some not-so-great ones, the duds of the pile, so to speak. So, yeah, overall, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but... at the same time, I'm like having an internal debate about which I feel like I would play more, Kinect or Move. I don't even have enough room in my apartment for Kinect. No. Kinect wouldn't even work in my current, you know.
In your living room?
Yeah, in our living room.
So I've never been in your house, but you have like a 4-bedroom house. Why do you not have room in your living room?
Back.
You'd have to move the couch out of the living room altogether.
First of all, the couch is super heavy, so I don't want to move it more than I would have to. And moving it back a little bit might help, but to move it back all the way, it would run into the bar that we have, and then in which case
you have a bar.
Yes, we have a bar.
Yeah,
and in which case we might have to like rotate it around, and it would be a pain in the neck. And I'm like, why do this when I can play StarCraft?
Well, okay. Yeah, sure.
That's how all your reviews went as well, if I recall.
That was the final line.
Kinect is pretty cool, but it's not StarCraft.
So you reviewed Kinect Adventures and Dance Central and Kinect Joyride.
Correct, and I'm working on one more for today.
What's this one? Sports?
Motion Sports.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one where if I wanted to date the quarterback, I can now be the quarterback.
You can be the quarterback, yes.
That is amazing. Yeah, yes. For anyone who didn't...
He was talking about this
yesterday, but explain to the listeners what this is all about.
So I did a dramatic reading of an excerpt from the instruction manual to Ubisoft's Motion Sports. And this was sort of, I think it was supposed to be aimed as an inspirational speech to get people excited about motion sports and the dream-fulfilling qualities that it has. And there is actually a line in the manual for this Kinect game that says, for those of you that longed to date the high school quarterback, check it out. Now you can be the quarterback.
It's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, which
I love
is great.
Everything about
I don't think they realized what that meant.
Talking about like target marketing. Who's going to buy the Kinect? All right, girls. Girls are going to buy the Kinect. Probably.
Yes.
Girls, they
want to be the quarterback.
Yeah. Girls just out of high school who got rejected and have now decided they want to switch roles.
Yeah.
So Dance Central is he's the best.
My favorite. Yeah. My favorite. So
we've
far.
Been talking about that's no secret. We kind of knew for all along that would be the best. You know. Kinect launch.
What'd you give it?
Although Arthur really liked Kinect Sports too, which I have not had a chance to play yet, but I will, and he has good things to say about that as well. Yeah.
What was the score on the Dance Central?
8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. The only everything that's there is great, and I would give it a higher score if it had more features.
Okay,
it's just a little. It's sort of like it basically is the first entry in what I assume will be a series, and you know,
is that the highest rated Kinect game?
No, I think it's tied with Kinect Sports, I believe.
For an 8,
No 8.5s.
No
8.5s. For Kinect or Move. Interesting.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Rider came close.
Yeah, almost had it.
And then Kinect Adventures is the pack-in game.
Yes.
And with that one, what did you think?
It'll be good for the people that want to take it out and play for maybe an hour or two and then never play it again. That's my kind of it is an extremely repetitive minigame collection and there's just not a lot to it.
So not a good packing game then.
In my mind,
the packing game should be the one that sells you on.
It's more the pack-in game in this case is more like a quick tech demo, the thing you put in there, like, oh, you've never seen Kinect, Mom? Here, come here. Hey, look at this. We're throwing rally balls. We're going down a raft.
Think about Wii Sports, right? That was the thing. All the hardcore adopted the Wii right away. Their parents came over for Thanksgiving. They see this. There's not much depth, but that's not what they wanted.
No, but I think there are lots of people who just bought a Wii and just played. Maybe they never bought another game because they had Wii Sports.
My parents played Wii Sports for like 2 years.
I know, right? But it doesn't seem like Kinect Adventures has those legs.
I don't think it has those legs. No,
I certainly
almost killed myself after playing it for like five.
Well, that
six
doesn't
hours
sound
straight.
Like a fun time at all.
You mean the game almost killed you? Not like you went
and got
like a cord and tied it around your neck.
No, I came really close.
Oh, good.
Yeah, if you came into that bay when I was up on the leopard skin couch tying,
I thought you were just doing like a David Carradine thing. I want to disturb you. Yeah, whatever you're into.
Too soon. We'll never forget you.
And Joyride. Yeah.
Good.
But not great.
It's hard to explain.
8.5.
It's not 8.5. It is intelligently designed in that it has a lot of replay value, a lot of modes, it was well thought out. But the to me, the actual steering and the and the controls were not as accurate as they should be for a racing game. Even though the racing game is geared more towards like young, you know, young gamers or kids, it's just like doesn't control very
I only
well.
Played one game of Joyride and I beat Ryan Clements.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I mean, you know that Fran came into the room and Kinect malfunctioned and my car just flew off the road.
Sure.
Okay.
I would like to point out that I played a dance battle with Ryan Clements for the video review and beat him as well.
Okay.
Speaking of Fran, man, that guy's reviewing Your Shape Fitness Evolved for Kinect.
And he is buff now.
He is taking that very seriously. He's been playing it in our demo room, and it's a workout game, and he has like, of course, a matching coordinated workout outfit that he wears for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you walked by, and he was like doing yoga pose.
He was doing the Christine called it the tree, so I'm assuming that's what it's actually called. But yeah, it's like,
calls
you know,
everything that
downward facing dog.
What do you want to eat? The tree.
Yeah, he was very into this yoga. He didn't even respond when I peeked my head and was like, "You doing some yoga there?" Nothing. So I just backed out.
And
slowly.
He apparently took over an hour and a half of footage for the video review, the 3 minute long video review.
Yeah, a little unnecessary.
He wants to cover it. He wants to make sure he nails this.
He's a bit of a thorough person.
And so, Jack, then your Kinect games were Kinectimals.
Yes.
And Adorable. Sonic Free Riders, which went up early this week.
Yes, and Adrenaline Misfits.
Yes.
And going up today, Fighters Uncaged.
So I'm really curious to see which is going to be worse, Fighters Uncaged or The Fight Lights
Ooh.
Out. Both terrible motion-controlled
fighting
games.
That should be a video grudge match.
That's tough. What did we give?
3 or 3.5. I think it was 3.
Yeah, it'll be close to that. It's bad. It's not good.
So let's go your Kinect games worst to best. So start off with Fighters Uncaged.
Fighters Uncaged, hands down. Adrenaline Misfits, second worst. Not like a broken bad game, but just super boring and no one's going to buy Kinect for that.
A downhill racing game, right?
That's like snowboarding. Like, here you go. Here's some slaloms. You can do a trick course. Like, it's just
the poor man's Sonic Free Riders, right?
Sort of, because Sonic Free Riders is actually more of a, which is next, no wait, Kinectimals is next, but Sonic Free Riders is more like a racer than anything else. It's,
kart
I mean,
racer?
Like, you're doing it on a board, but it's very much a kart racing game.
I do it on a board all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Down at the boat landing.
But yeah, I've already messed up this thing, so now we've talked about Sonic. And then Kinectimals, it's in there too, which is super adorable. It's the cutest
it
game I've ever
really,
seen.
It is really, really cute. You ended up giving that a 7, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of the motion controls for a lot of the things just don't really work all that well. So you're kind of like, great, like I want to play with this cat. And then it's really like rigid. You can't just like reach out and pet your cat and play with it and stuff. And it's not like doing things. You have to like open all these menus and do all these things just to like interact on a really basic level with this animal. So you just don't ever feel like it's an actual pet.
Yes,
I had a great moment where I came in to one of our capture bays where Jack was finalizing some footage capture for Kinectimals. Craig Baradon was also in there because Baradon was the one producing that video review. There's just a great moment where they were getting footage of like a squirt gun mini game where you're like trying to fill up like it's kind of one of those balloon type games. You try and fill up the balloon like at a carnival, except it's like a frog. So he's doing that, and Baradon's just like sitting real low in his chair, and he's like, "What happens when you squirt the cat?" And then Jack is like, "All right, fine, I'll squirt him." And he squirt a little bit, and he's like, "Oh, he doesn't like it." Yeah, that's funny.
He doesn't like that.
Pretty much sums up the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Okay. I had I was getting really frustrated with the controls, and then Arthur had to remind me that earlier in the day, standing next to him at his desk playing the game, I actually jumped up in the air and excitedly exclaimed to him, "Arthur, I got a serval! I unlocked it!" He's like, "I've never seen you more excited about a game than Kinectimals." And so it's just like this really like
what's a serval.
Yeah, I don't even know what a serval is. I assume it's a cat.
It's a cat.
How many cats are in the game?
Over 30.
Wow!
I didn't know there were that many types of cats.
Yeah. I'm going to go through them all right now.
Is there a Black Panther in the game?
There's a Black Panther, there's a lion, there's a cheetah, then there's a tiger, and there's a leopard at the beginning. Those are the ones you get. Okay. And then you start to unlock, like, Bornean clouded leopards, servals, white jaguars.
White tiger? Siberian white tiger?
You get a Siberian white tiger.
Nice.
You get lots of things.
Is there just, like...
Ocelots, jaguarundis. I actually don't know if that one's in there, but I hope so.
Is just a plain house cat...
No, it's all like wildcats.
Damn it.
I hope the sequel is Sharktimals.
I think the sequel Or actually, rather, DLC.
Trying to pet it. It's just like, there's a stuff on the screen.
Blood's just spraying on the screen.
Again. That'll be good. Yeah, I think realistically, though, looks like bears and probably some sort of like canid family will be the thing.
Bearimals?
Yeah, they had like at the beginning this like bonding circle, and there are these like big stone sculptures, and one of them's a cat, and one of them's a bear, and one of them looks like a wolf. So it's like, it seems pretty obvious that those are the two things they're going for next. So yeah. I'm thinking pandas and polar bears and little like bear cubs. It'll be very cute again.
Oh my god, baby panda.
Right?
Share with the listeners what your first strapline for your Connectimals review was.
Is this game worth a purchase?
Did we not use that?
No,
Of course we would never actually use that, but I love it anyway.
Oh, Damon, I have a request for you real quick. Can you offer or issue a command to your loyal fan base to have them redo the, the count of how many, people have...
Oh, so we've got, I forget the listener's name that keeps track of how many episodes each of us is on. So our list here is current as of July 2010. So maybe if we can get an update on that. I know Clements is very
I really want to
concerned.
I want to get up there on my ranking.
Well, where are you here?
I'm still under like Jeff Haynes or something.
Yeah, you're
awesome.
It's like middle.
Here you are. So you're tied. Yeah, you're right under Jeff Haynes with five appearances. Is that okay, Greg?
That's hilarious. This time,
I beat him
when
a while
you,
ago.
When you, I know. When you send in the new spreadsheet, we will write your name on it. Like we did for Chili Philly, which makes me laugh every
time.
It made
this great structure. And the weird thing is I don't even think Chili Philly listens to the podcast. I think it's a friend of Chili Philly's who sent this in, yeah. So,
Chili Philly.
This has been a good show.
Listener.
We'll see you next time.
Well, that's all the scoops we have for this week.
Wear your retainers and don't buy Kinect. Got it.
Listener Charlie Gadsden writes in. He wants to know, now that Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo each have their respective motion control options available on the market, which do you guys feel is the winner of the motion control war? We all know that no one on GameScoop is particularly jazzed about motion control anything, but it'd still be nice to hear you guys chime in on your thoughts about Kinect, Move, and Motion Plus.
I still think it's too early. The first shot has not... Now everyone's on the battlefield. Now you have to sit back and see what happens. I think Kinect's going to sell really well. I think everything I've seen is...
So here's my thing. I think it's kind of over for Wii. I think it's just like the momentum isn't there anymore, and the buzz isn't there, and
for
the excitement.
For what crowd, though? Just for the...
Kind of for everybody.
For everybody, you think so?
I mean, they don't have like Motion Plus games on
there's
the horizon.
There's no big motion control game they have coming out this holiday season.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, in the U.S., I don't hear a lot of buzz about PlayStation Move. I don't see ads for it.
I think Move's going to get rolled.
I think it's just too similar to the Wii. It's just like a high-def Wii. And I think Kinect is like new and exciting, and I think it's actually going to perform pretty well.
It's funny to watch all the twits last night of people who, like, you know, we've been so locked in that bubble of, you know, we see Kinect at an event and we're not sure about this and yada yada yada. Everybody last night, dance, like, it was all the IGN bloggers I follow, and, like, you know,
they love Dance
Central. Brit and Foz are like, oh, it's so awesome, I'm sweaty but I love it. I'm like, all right, well, here we go, you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be the same thing where they've got these early adopters who are going to go home at Thanksgiving and show it to their families, and then they'll be like, that's really cool. I'd like to do that. I want to get a raft.
One thing that really hit home for me is Arthur Geese, like the first time that he used it, he described it as, it feels like magic, like when you first step in front of the Kinect motion sensor. And that means a lot because Arthur Geese is like the Eeyore of The Office. So he says something feels like magic. I was like, whoa, that's saying something.
I wouldn't have gone that far.
I would have.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, it's not perfect. Like, there is lag.
I'm sorry, I thought we were arguing about Arthur. The Eeyore. No. Magic, sure. I can't.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would go as far as saying magic, but it was when it was working, because we've been at so many events where like it didn't work all that well. So to like have it and set it up and then have it just work fine was really cool. Especially with something like Sonic, which like when I last two times I played it was a broken mess. It just like. So I came in being like, well, here we go. I was like, oh, wait, no, I figured it out.
Yeah.
This works fine. So, like, that was kind of, it was refreshing to know that this wasn't going to be this complete pile of crap. So,
I was just going to say, I retract my statement. Actually, when I was, during some of my Dance Central moments, that was highlight.
It was magic.
It was a little magical.
It was magic.
Well, like, dancing to Jungle Boogie, come on. Yeah, it's magical.
Damon, a year from now, what is it going to look like? The motion control landscape. 1 year from now, we're doing GameScoop 342. I think is where we'll be. What do you think it's going to look like? I say Kinect is still making a lot of Kinect games. I don't think it's super popular. I think it's
Kinect.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have it, and some people are still using it. I don't think it attached like the Wii did with general consumers.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. There's going to be a lot of interest in it, but I think the price is too high.
Yeah.
So it's like it's not going to like sell. You know, for someone, if you already have a 360, then it's like okay. Then it's only $150. But if you already have a 360, then you're probably like a hardcore gamer. You know, you're not that new casual market. So if you don't have a 360, it's going to be $300 just for the 4 gig system. And a 4 gig system is, you know, that's not going to get you very far.
Yeah.
So it's $400 for the 250 gig system. It's really, really expensive for, you know, for the casual consumer.
Yep.
So I don't know. But I think I think next year we'll see some interesting, like, core games that use Kinect.
You know? Okay. Fighters on Cage is a core game.
I said interesting.
Oh.
Core games.
You want core games that aren't piles of crap? Mm-hmm.
Next week we need to start on the feature. The worst. Which is the worst fight game?
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll do a head-to-head next week. Because I haven't played that one.
All right, we'll switch them out. We'll switch it up.
We'll get some trophies.
Okay.
All right, moving on. While we still wait for Gran Turismo 5, it's heartening to know that Gran Turismo 6... it's already in development.
Can't wait. You know, they've learned a lot from the Gran Turismo 5, like the fan reaction to the demo that was released called Prologue.
Two demos.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. The 6 is where they're going to iron out all the problems people had.
And think it'll be a quick turnaround?
This has got to be a 2011 release, right? I mean, it's got it right there.
This is just... So, Kazunori Yamauchi, he's apparently the guy behind the Gran Turismo guy.
Yeah, Kazunori.
He tells... what does he tell? Autoblog Jalopnik.
Yeah.
That's a good title.
They broke out a lot of news. That and the discs are being pressed for Gran Turismo 5 right now.
Gran Turismo 5. So anyway. We know that's coming.
It's being worked on, yeah.
Another one we'll have to wait a long time for, apparently, is Darksiders 2. Darksiders actually was one of my favorite games of this year.
Wow, really?
I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. It came out early in the year. I don't think people are going to be talking about it when it comes time to talk about Game of the Year stuff, but I liked that game a lot. It borrowed heavily from a lot of other games, but I found it thoroughly enjoyable to play through. But anyway, it was supposed to arrive in 2011, but now THQ has pushed it into their 2013 fiscal year, which begins April 2012. So that would be like the earliest that we'll get Darksiders 2.
Be careful, man.
What's
2012. Not much time. You got to get it out. You got to get it out. You got to make your money. The big one's coming.
Mm.
John Cusack.
That was a long movie.
That was a long movie.
Did you even see it?
Why would you see that movie?
That looked terrible.
I saw it for free with friends and just at their house.
Oh, okay.
They have like one of those streaming services.
Majigers. You mean they torrented it and stole it from the internet?
No, they didn't. They have like a subscription to some sort of thing.
Interesting.
A subscription to some sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like a digital thing that like hooks up to the webs.
Oh, Vudu? Is it Vudu?
Yeah, actually, I think it might be Vudu.
All right, cool.
Which might be coming to the PS3. Who knows?
Ooh. Sweet. Jesus. I saw that movie in theaters. I paid real money for it.
Oh, man.
You're dumb, too, then.
No, well, I knew it was going to be... It was one of those things where, like, let's go have a few beers and go see that movie. Because, I mean, like, something like that, I think you should see on a giant screen with huge speakers and stuff. Because
flipping over. And
yeah, it's special effects, and that's where you're getting it for. But, yeah, it is awful. It is a terrible film.
I did not think it was awful, but it was certainly not good. But the special effects were fun.
I watched Hot Tub Time Machine last night.
How was that?
I saw that on the Facebook.
Okay, I liked it. It's not great, but I laughed a couple times I was entertained. I actually liked the ending. I think it's worth sticking. But by the time the ending came around, I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool."
Cool.
Yeah.
I will watch it now.
Yeah.
I streamed off Netflix last night a documentary about the rise and fall of Play-Dohs, an adult
of Play-Doh.
Play-Dohs. Sorry, you threw me off. A swingers club in New York back in the 70s, 80s.
Not the philosopher.
No. Well, it was named after him though.
And you're recommending this.
It was interesting. Yeah. You like documentaries about, you know, sex clubs rising and falling. Sure.
Yeah.
It was great.
What inspired you to get that in the first place?
I felt like something long form while I worked on dinner and cleaned up the house a bit.
He typed sex into Netflix. And
I like documentaries, so I went to...
Do you like documentaries?
I do quite a bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. I enjoy that quite a bit. Yeah.
You want to see that Elliot Spitzer one?
I haven't heard of it. Oh.
Client 9.
Yeah,
comes out,
probably
comes
will.
Out yeah.
This week. I won't go to theaters, though. I want it to come to me.
No.
Come to me. Listeners, we've finally updated our Xbox Live channel on IGN, so it actually has the blog roll like every other channel now, and it looks great. It took way, way, way too long, but I'm really happy that we actually have a working Xbox Live channel that I'm not embarrassed of anymore. So you can get all of your Xbox Live news on a very nice-looking Xbox Live blog roll on IGN now. And for people here in the room, I'm totally getting this. This is awesome.
Mega Man?
The Mega Man wall art from Blick that Scott Lowe posted a Gear article on this week.
Oh.
If you guys know, Blick makes like wall art, like wall decals. They have really high quality stuff. It's good stuff. They have a bunch of video game designs too, and they just released a classic Mega Man one. So it's all the Mega Man, all the bosses from the first Mega Man. Yeah, really cool. For $50, I think you get like 25 pieces in the set. So
nice.
Where are you gonna put them in your house?
I think in my bedroom. No. I figure as long as I'm a bachelor, I might as well take advantage. Like if I had a girlfriend, if I was married, I could never do anything like that.
So yeah,
might as well do it now.
Okay.
Last week, we announced this week we're going to be giving away a copy of Halo Reach Legendary Edition.
Sweet.
I know.
That's great.
So,
I emailed you with like 17 different email addresses to get that.
Yeah, speaking of that, just so listeners know, listeners that try to cheat the system and spam the GameScoop inbox with multiple emails are not looked favorably upon. And in worst case scenarios, I will block your email address, and I guarantee you I will never, ever randomly pick you to win these games. So keep that in mind. We got lots of entries. I narrowed them down. I randomly selected two entries right now that I've got in my hand, and Ryan Clements is going to pick Ryan Clements is going to pick the winner of Halo Reach Legendary Edition.
Do we get to read the loser as well so that
person knows to hate Ryan Clements? No, we won't let the loser know. I will say this. Both of these possibilities are from Colorado.
So everyone in Colorado is going to hate you.
You're making a lot of
Everyone that's
right?
not in Colorado now just turned off the podcast.
I am just picking a paper. There are no personal favorites.
Are you ready here? Are you ready to do this? So, our copy of Halo Reach Legendary Edition, new inbox, never opened, goes to...
That was a lot of shuffling for that.
Goes to...
You
should have thrown them up in the air like a money machine.
That one?
Yeah.
Read it.
Jason Jensen of Colorado Springs, Colorado.
JJ!
Congratulations. Please enjoy Halo Reach Legendary Edition. Jason, email me your address and I will get that out to you right away. Please do enjoy. This week on Xbox Live Arcade, Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Decade Duels came out. Another card battle game. And I have a code for that for you right now.
Oh, that's where we're going with it. I was wondering why we were talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! All of a sudden.
So this is a code to download Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Decade Duels on Xbox Live Arcade this week. Remember, this is Xbox Live Arcade codes are always very, very long. So here we go. Y64YY. FQ9JY 6RHJ 7DJ 7J C79YZ. Please do enjoy Yu-Gi-Oh! On Xbox Live Arcade.
XG. Damon,
I just want to let you know you must believe in the heart of the cards.
Is that a Yu-Gi-Oh! Thing?
Yes.
I got that. All right.
Well, we know who's reviewing the next Yu-Gi-Oh! Game.
Actually, Levi's doing that one. Taking one for the team. Let's knock some boots.
That
happens on this podcast. I forgot.
This is Zach Smith. He says, "Hi, my name is Zach Smith. I am 16, about to be 17, and I just broke up with my girlfriend.
I am 16, going on 17. That lies were falling. Why?
I just broke up with my girlfriend. My question is, when is it appropriate to move on? For I have another interest who actually existed toward the end of my previous relationship. If it matters, the two girls do not know each other. Scoop! Yeah.
You move on when you feel like moving on.
Yeah. There's no set time. There's no, like, well, you have to wait this certain amount of time.
Well, it depends. How long was he dating the other girl?
That's what I'm saying. It does depend.
Yeah.
They were dating for 2 decades.
2 decades?
Previous life and everything.
All right. Yeah. Well, then that's going to be 20 months of waiting.
Wow.
I mean, if he feels over it, then he's ready to move on, right?
Sounds like he broke up because he wanted to go with the other girl anyway, so go for it. That's why you do it. Yeah.
Zach.
I would say be careful. Don't, like, I mean, if you're in, like, high school, I would maybe stay clear of the other girl. Like, don't be making out in front of her. That's rude.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
I think also there's just a certain sense of courtesy. I feel like you would at least want to wait like a week or two before you start dating again just to be nice. But that's just me. It's my personal opinion on the matter.
I think no. I mean, there, I think we're splitting hairs. I think even 2 weeks, they're gonna, if she was going to get offended, she's still going to be offended.
If you break up and it's the next day and you're like dating someone new, that's when I think it's like too much. Mm-hmm. But
what you need to do is find her a boyfriend so that she falls in love with someone else and then you don't feel bad when you go with someone else.
I learned that from a CW show.
All right, this is Jesse. He says, I've been in a relationship with this girl for about 3 months, but I feel like it's time to end it. Mm-hmm. I'm 15, she's 16. I've totally taken Greg's advice about burning bridges.
All right, good.
What?
I would be cool with just ending it and moving on, but I'm afraid of what she and her friends will do. I've made many new friends through her, and they will all probably want nothing to do with me if I break up with her. Also, I am her first real boyfriend, so this would be her first real breakup. I don't want to hurt her, but I feel like our relationship has run its course, so maybe I'm not taking Greg's advice after all, because it would have too many repercussions. Please help me. P.S. Hey, do you eat?
Funny. The answer is man up and break up with her. There's no sense struggling along. And not to mention, if these people aren't going to talk to you afterwards, they're not really your friends now, so what do you care?
But yeah, I mean, that's not...
You've only known those people for 3 months.
A reason to... You don't stay with somebody just because you don't want to, like, lose their friends.
Right, right.
You
know? But I agree with Craig, though. You should probably break up in as delicate or...
Don't be a jerk about it. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think... I mean, if you just explain...
Breaking up is never easy.
It's hard to do, they say.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's true. It's always going to be a painful experience, but, you know, if you're just honest with her and respectful of her and, you know...
Are all of these breakup questions?
No. Well, this last one is this is a lot more serious.
Uh-oh.
This person's older and he's married and he has a very serious problem here.
Oh, jeez.
This is Tyson.
Root?
Yeah.
Ty Root.
He says, "I need tour help." He's apparently on tour. My wife of 4 years seems to have lost interest in the knocking of the boots.
Jeez.
I have tried setting up romantic evenings and having date nights. We have been together for almost 13 years. I am 27 and she is 26. So they've been together since they were like 13?
Yeah. Wow.
Jesus. She is my best friend, and we always had a healthy sexual relationship up until about the last 3 to 4 months. I've been trying to think of an event that may have changed this and cannot. Your advice is most appreciated.
The event.
It's bad.
Yeah, well, let's not make a mountain out of a molehill just yet.
Okay.
The answer is to sit down and have a conversation with her. People get all hung up on sex. They get hung up on talking about it. You sit down and you just say, hey, guess I'm not – no, don't say guess what. I mean –
guess what?
This is me.
Guess what?
This is me boiling it down for an IGN podcast. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm not happy. We need to figure out what's going on. Not to mention 3 or 4 months is bad for sure. But you've been together a long time. So it's not like this – it's like – it's been years.
I wonder how long they've been sexually active, you know?
At 13. 13
years.
They're in boat landing.
You don't.
No, I know. Have a conversation about it, and then, I mean, don't figure out maybe working different hours. Is she super tired? Is there something going on? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that make people – I mean, you've been together 13 years, so 3, 4 months. Not a drop in the bucket, so to speak.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Have a conversation.
Yeah. He doesn't say he's had this conversation with you yet, so –
Also, buy some Spanish fly. Ladies love that.
Yeah.
That works too.
Or work out more. Get buff.
Does that help in your relationship?
Yeah, yeah. Ask her all the ways in which you can change yourself.
I've noticed I don't make you happy anymore. What am I doing wrong?
I was partially kidding, but it is good. I mean, it's always good to be healthy.
Nah.
Good to be healthy.
Nope. Yeah. I was thinking about it last night, and I was like, you know what? I'm very happy with my life right now. What I need right now, about 5, 10 years, get struck with a terminal illness. That's what I want. And then I don't want to fight it because I don't want to do the chemo. I just go out that way.
You want to die right now. You only want to last about 5 or 6 years more?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Really?
You've done it? You've had enough?
No, I've had a great time, but I want to go out on top.
why don't you go out like in an awesome like accident? Like your building just blows up.
If you have a terminal illness,
sure.
A terminal illness could last, like you could suffer for a long time.
But I'm not going to fight it. That's what I'm saying.
But you could still suffer.
I'm out.
It'd still be like
that's not how cancer
very
works.
Painful. It's not like instantaneous.
Oh, whatever. I'm basing this saw that Michael Keaton movie, My Life, or whatever. I don't know.
He died in 2 hours.
I don't, why don't you drive off a cliff or something?
No, I don't want to kill myself. I'm very happy. I'm just saying, I don't want to stick around IGN so long that I get old and complacent and then get fired, or I, you know, Pear's like, you're not pulling your weight anymore. I'm like, no, Pear. And he's like, get out. Or I screw up the PS3 or the PSP3 launch or something like that. I want to go out while I'm popular. I want to go out while people still like me. That way I have a good, there's a good GameScoop memorial. I want to make sure.
Why don't you just start living your life more recklessly so that an accident is bound to occur?
I should eat more chicken wings. I've been thinking that.
Just go all rock star.
More chicken wings. I feel like you can say this now, but the pain and like...
Well, we've got the...
Okay, maybe I'm...
It's on the public record now.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm... Okay, let's stop for a second. Maybe I'm thinking terminal illnesses go too fast and they're not that bad. I don't know, all right?
No, I think you're going to be suffering for a good length of time if you have a terminal illness.
That doesn't sound like what I want.
I know.
No, you want...
That's what I signed up for. Yeah.
No, you want, like, cancer, because, I mean, like...
I don't know.
This is from Michael Weir. Michael Weir has some feedback for the chubby food court guy from the last GameScoop episode.
Yeah, how does he come on to this girl who English isn't her first language?
Yeah, she's a cute Asian girl in his food court. Michael Weir is 32, so he has some advice, some experience he can share.
I'm ready to hear.
So he says, I was once in a similar situation, though with reversed roles. So back in 1999 or 2000, I worked full-time at a coffee shop. Two or three times a week, this girl would come in that I was immensely attracted to. This went on for a few weeks, but I never got a chance to talk to her, as it was always during busy morning rushes, and she always got her drink and left. But I was patient and perceptive. Mm-hmm. She always ordered one of two drinks, which I soon realized. Nothing impresses a customer more than when you already know what they want, and you ask them, so are you having X today? It got a smile out of her, and I figured that was good progress for one day. The next time I saw her, I asked her name and told her mine. Then one day, opportunity knocked. I was working an afternoon shift, and she came in, ordered her drink, and we exchanged the typical, how are you, how's your day going so far? Something different happened. She sat down at the cafe and stayed. I quickly seized the opportunity and walked up to her. Bear in mind, this is 1999 before Facebook and texting, and people actually had to approach the opposite sex and ask them out with real words. So I walked up to her table and asked, do you eat? No. No, seriously, I can't remember what I did, but I either asked for a phone number or just flat out asked her if she wanted to go out sometime. Sure enough, she accepted, and we went out on a date that weekend and had a great time. Sadly, I didn't play my cards right and ended up in the friend zone, utterly destroying any chance I had at... Well, however, her and I became really great friends and drinking buddies, a relationship that lasted for many years until she moved out of state. We had some good times. My point is, take your time when you're really into a girl, especially when your window of opportunity to get to know her is very limited. If you get a chance, seize it, be patient, and ultimately, unlike me, don't fuck up your hand of cards and end up in the friend zone. But if that happens, having awesome friends is always a good thing, too.
True. I am curious to know what the bleep up was. Are we allowed to swear, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What was the fuck up? I wonder what happened. I'm very curious.
He was probably too nice. You have to be a little bit of a dick.
Exactly.
Disagree.
The problem is that he clearly blew the window of opportunity. Where no one's thinking of this in context. It was 1999, about to be 2000. Y2K was fucking everyone's shit up. This girl probably was like, sure, I'll go out with you. I need to find someone to protect me when everything fails and credit cards don't work and planes are falling from the sky. And then New Year's Day came around, everything's fine. She's like, oh, well, I can do better than you. Let's just get drunk. And then they cued the montage. Every little thing she does is right. Just drinking around time.
What fantasy world do you live in?
I hope I get a terminal on this.
I was just saying. All right, I was just saying. I'm in the prime of my life. I don't want to be old. I don't want to be elderly. I'll tell you that right now.
Away.
I do not want to get all wrinkly and not be able to lift things above my head.
How often do you lift things above your head?
That is a nightmare.
I often see you take PS3s.
I was going to say, I knew the same people. All right, I'll admit it wasn't the most thought out witch. All right, I'm just saying, if I gotta die, which I do,
true.
I want to go out in the prime.
Yeah. Okay. I understand your mentality.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's get some pizza.
All right, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
This is Josh. He says, I'm writing in to say that I am the managing editor of my college newspaper.
Nice.
And recently found out that since I run the features section of the paper, I have the power to completely overhaul the scoring system for reviews. Seeing as I personally hate review scores, I did away with them entirely. I've always found that people won't actually read what's been written and take the score as the only judgment. This is a problem when, say, I give Left 4 Dead 2 a 5 out of 5 with a warning that those who do not like playing co-op will hate the experience. I'm writing to see if you guys might have a different perspective about reasons why keeping a review score might be a good idea. I honestly don't see IGN ever getting rid of them, so I thought you guys probably have good ideas of how to cope with using them.
Interesting.
Personally, I do not cope with review scores. I love review scores. I would never want to do without them.
Really?
It would alienate so much of our people who come to the site, because people don't come to the site. They don't necessarily have the time to sit and read. Now we have the IGN mobile, the IGN app. You're in Walmart. You just want to know, is Rockin' Cats plus Cats good?
I know.
You check it, and you get the score, and you're done. You don't want to sit there and scroll and read.
Right.
Yeah, I'm only going to read the text for games I'm really interested in. For everything else, I want to just be able to get it at a glance. You know.
Here's what he should do. All right, if he wants to keep scores but focus on the text, he should hide the score somewhere in the body of the text.
Yeah,
like right in the middle of a sentence, just be like parentheses. This game is a 6.
Well,
and then end parentheses.
That was not a real suggestion.
Okay, good,
because that was a terrible suggestion. I'm totally on his side. When I was a managing editor of a college newspaper, I got rid of our scores. We had stars. I got rid of them. I made people write their reviews 200 words or less, and just it was
That's good. Boom, that's really good.
It was so we had a lot of reviews every week.
Yeah.
And they were just like, and they were short, and you read it and you figured it out. It was like, is this movie good or bad? You can figure it out.
See, I can handle that if it's short enough. You know, that works.
Because what I do is I just read the closing comments of all your articles, because I don't have time to read them all either.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
But the score is not. I don't take that as much as I do what people's opinions are in the article.
I would love it if all of our reviews could fit in a Twitter post. That'd be amazing. I hope we go to that format someday.
Yeah. Connectables is cute, but bad.
That's all I need to know. That's great. This is James Breen in Germany. Says, do you expect or want the Nintendo 3DS remakes of Ocarina of Time and Lylat Wars? What the fuck game is that?
Ooh, that sounds familiar.
I should know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
It's
Lylat isn't a Star Fox thing, is it?
Yeah, that's what the
Lylat
Star Fox
system.
64 game is called.
It's called the Lylat Wars?
The Lylat Wars.
I don't remember that.
But maybe not in all territories.
Anyway. Oh, maybe it was in Europe? Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's...
Anyway, do we want these remakes to feature additional content, like new stages, dungeons, bosses? Do we expect Nintendo to add them?
He's
asking.
No.
Now, Nintendo isn't really known for going overboard with their remakes and adding a bunch of new content.
Is Ocarina of Time confirmed?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was at E3. Yeah. I mean, Super Mario 64 DS had 4 additional playable characters. So, I mean, it's not unprecedented, but I would say...
But it's not like new levels and bosses.
Yeah,
and
I would say Ocarina of Time will probably be just a flat thing.
Do you think
Star Fox would have some sort of new kind of like... simple mode.
Well, do you think they do just port Master Quest? Like, you know, the one that got packed, or the GameCube disc one they made that when you bought the other one or whatever, when you pre-ordered the other... I'm getting out of the... I'm sorry. But remember, they did a Master Quest that they put out over here on the GameCube.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that's the version that they are going to use, but yeah. I don't know. We really don't know much about it. They just had some screens, and that was it. So
I didn't know that. Now I'm excited for 3DS.
Now you are? Yeah.
Not really excited.
Now
but...
you can play some old N64 games, so now you're excited?
That's the whole thing. Christine wants to play Ocarina of Time because I always talk about how great it is. So
and
yesterday,
you don't let her.
We got to the plateau. We were on the Wii, and we went to the Wii store, and I got there. I'm like, oh, okay, we're 300 points short. You got to pay. And she's like, oh, it's not my Wii. I'm like, I'm not going to play Ocarina of Time again. Yeah, you buy it. She's like, no. And I'm like, well, then we are at an impasse.
Wow.
This listener did not include their name. But he has a question about Heavy Rain.
Pop Anonymous.
Question about Heavy Rain.
Okay.
Says, I recently started playing Heavy Rain.
Good.
No, it's been out for some time now, but I have less time for gaming since I became a father earlier this year.
Aww.
Congratulations. I have done over an hour of the game, and it is seriously boring the crap out of me.
Yeah.
I've heard you guys talk about it before, and I'm sure I heard suggestions that you stay with it and it gets better. Due to the fact that I don't get as much gaming time as I used to, I'm trying to be selective about what games I do play, so I wanted your opinions on whether I stick with it or quit now and move on to something else. I have a backlog of games sitting here for me to play, like God of War 3 and War for Cybertron.
Yeah. It's a good point. I think that's the same thing happened to you, right?
Yep.
Are you still there? You never played
I never went back to it. So, yeah. yeah, I Also, I played an hour of Heavy Rain. I thought it was boring, and I put it down.
I hear you. Yeah, it's a game that's asking for commitment because it wants you to learn those controls. So, yeah, you walk around the house, you get dressed, you draw, you do a bunch of boring stuff, you set the table. I mean, but then you go to the mall, it's also kind of boring, and then it picks up on an upswing. If you are – I don't know how – I mean, you've only played an hour of it, and you have a newborn. So, yeah, you're not going to be committing too much time. I would – I mean, I think it's great, but it's definitely something you have to commit time to. So, if you don't
Something like God of War 3 is going to be much more instantly
and you can
gratifying.
Get in, get out. You're not going to forget how to do it. It's never going to be like, – it's going to be clunky, Heavy Rain, because what Heavy Rain was great for me is that I sat there and played it and got immersed in the experience. You know what I mean? Whereas if you're popping in 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 every few weeks, you're going to get in and be like, oh, yeah, I got to – twirl the controller this way. Oh no.
But you're gonna forget the story. The whole thing's just like, I mean, really, yeah, that's like a, you play it in a weekend. If you don't like it, get through it and be done with it, because it's only like five.
I would say more so. Six or seven.
But then if you want all the endings, yeah, that's where you get it. Clearly he isn't gonna want, I understand. But yeah, short form games are where it's at. Played Cosmic Quest last week.
Yeah.
Great.
I know you're a big fan of that one. This is Will. Says, I recently just beat Alan Wake. While not the scariest game of all time, it definitely kept me on my toes at times late at night. My question is, have you ever played a game so scary that you couldn't finish it?
Dead Space.
Whenever I play survivor horror games or the like, I always play them the way they were intended, at night, no lights and the sound way up. I met my match last year with Dead Space. I couldn't find the courage to play it all the way through. I got about halfway and just got too scared to deal with it. No, I've never been too scared that I couldn't finish a game. I've certainly been, like, I felt uneasy playing a game, but I enjoy that.
I felt that with Dead Space.
Yeah,
I was never sure what was going to be around the corner, one of those damn flying manta rays. You're like, ah! That
doesn't sound so bad.
It was terrible. No, that was,
it's a mantine.
Just slowly opening and closing its little pucker mouth.
I was a Pokemon.
Oh, okay, thank you.
This is Jonathan. He says, I just wanted to write in and ask when you guys are going to update the feature you had about Christine trying to catch all 493 Pokemon. I asked Christine, she said no.
Christine's done. She's done with them.
How many did she make?
Like 220.
Oh, that's good.
Something like that. She caught a lot. She gave it her best. I knew she would quit. I knew she would get burned out of the game because it is a really long experience to try to catch them all. You don't just get to play the game. You have to, like, find people to trade with and do all this stuff, and, like, it's really only geared towards someone who has been a Pokemon fan for a long time to be able to do it. So I knew she would get this point where she wasn't actually easily able to capture anything anymore, and it would get frustrating, and she wouldn't want to do it, and that's exactly what happened. But she gave it a shot. I think we had a good run. Maybe I'll make an ending video and just, like, end it.
Have her, like, dropping her sword, her DS, like, slow motion.
The cartridge, like, flies out in the crash.
Yeah. This is Rob Russell. He says, due to the recent shakeup in the editorial pool over the last few months, is that correct? Was there a recent shakeup?
Steimer went over and you and Geddes got promoted, but still,
it's not really a shakeup.
And then I'm here.
We hired
Jack finally.
is that a shakeup? I don't know if I'd call that a shakeup.
I've been shaking things up left and right.
Cue the montage.
We're gonna make some changes around here. All right. Anyway.
There are a lot of references I'm not getting on this podcast.
He's not referencing anything.
I'm saying we're doing a montage now. It's the shakeup.
Yeah. Oh, was that a real song, though?
Oh, my God.
Come on. It's the Cars, man. It's great.
Go listen
to
K-pop.
I wasn't born.
So you can't listen to any music before you were born?
Correct.
You guys not read books from
disability.
Before you were born?
Correct. I don't know anything until 1985.
What about the song 1985 by Bowling for Soup?
That I know.
Rob is asking, is the games journalism industry seen more as a stepping stone into the games industry itself? You guys have referenced Roper at Zipper, Casamina at Apple, and so forth, and I'm wondering if working for a reporting website is seen as either a gateway or more along the lines of a final destination. As one that critiques and analyzes the industry, do you get the occasional urge to get in the business yourself, considering the failures and successes you've seen from developers?
I don't know. I wouldn't call it a final destination. I think people switch up in the industry all the time, right?
It all depends. Everybody has something different.
Cass Messina is not making games at Apple. He's like, you know, picking.
Yeah, he's not doing much games, at all at Apple.
Picking games to be featured on the App Store is what he's doing. And I think Roper is in community management at Zipper, which is not development either.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Roper switch over one day. He does the iPhone.
I mean, he does his own development, so that's true.
It depends who you are. Everybody has a different course.
I'm personally not looking into making games.
Well, then I have some bad news to break to Geddes about Neutron Synergy, then. Holy jeez.
Oh, no.
Looks like I'm going to be able to swoop in and make my move.
It's true.
Yeah. I want to alert everyone that there is an image at the back of Damon's pile. I don't know what it is. Something's coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've already seen it. You've already seen it, but just so you know.
I've forgotten it, so yeah. I'm fine.
It's good. This guy's got a good name. Jordan Bolt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love that name.
Oh, man.
That's like Jordan Sparks, but even better.
He says, Scoop. Hey, guys. My name is Jordan Bolt.
Yeah, it is great.
That is good.
I just graduated from university in the spring with a Bachelor of Science in Toxicology.
What?
I eventually found a low-paying summer position at the university I graduated from, University of Saskatchewan in Canada. This job was not very fun and rather boring. Except the day we killed 4,000 baby fish.
What?
Greg is not
just tossed
the sky
toaster in the water.
He works for a fish euthanizing plant.
You guys do an experiment.
No, Jordan. <Bush! laughs> Maybe the best of us.
Why do you need a toaster? I assume he has infamous powers.
His name is Jordan Blank.
You thought wrong.
So he's actually a villain. Huh? He sounds like a hero.
You were supposed to save the fish from destroying it.
He says, don't fret. There was a highlight to my summer. Attending PAX, which was totally worth the 16-hour drive. This was my first gaming convention, and I think it changed my life. I had tons of fun checking out the show floor and attending panels, such as the IGN Girlfight panel. Of course, there was also the IGN meet and greet, which kicked off PAX for me, from Greg making fun of me for putting on my name tag upside down.
Yeah, you idiot.
Do you remember this guy?
Of course not. Yeah. Sorry, Jordan.
To playing some awesome PSP games, it was a blast. Most importantly, though, PAX has made me realize that someday I will work in the video games industry. Since PAX, I've written an article about video games for my university newspaper. I have also decided to go back to school to get a computer science degree and use that to pursue my dream of working in the industry. Also, I am working with a friend on a video game awareness organization he is developing.
Real quick, the article is titled, Video Games, What's the Deal? By Jordan Bolt.
I really feel like things are moving in the right direction for me and was wondering what advice you guys may have for me, and we'll hopefully see you guys around the industry in a few years. Jordan Bolt, get thee to GDC this year, the Game Developers Conference.
So does he want to? He wants to make games.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Come to GDC.
You have
San
to go
Francisco.
To GDC.
We'll be there.
It's in San Francisco. It's in March, I think.
Speaking of which, name we gotta host a cool meet and greet for GDC, and we gotta record a GameCube.
Yeah, done. Of course.
I wonder what Jordan Bolt looks like.
I've seen him.
Was he?
He doesn't remember though.
He's just pure energy.
He's like, he's like the guy from Watchmen, just floating, just donging out.
Hello, Craig.
Like, you made that. Get out of here, energy man.
Climb back to your morph ball and hit the bricks.
You insulting like this dude is crackling with energy.
He goes from blue to purple and leaves. Just fades through the wall.
This is Mark Krieger. He says, first of all, Scoop. Second of all, amazing podcast every week. My question, on several IGN podcasts, I've heard you guys say that you have game sales numbers, but you can't reveal them.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this? I know that NPD is not publishing console and game sales numbers any longer, but why are they providing them to you and then saying you can't share them with us? Mark, we pay a lot of money to get those numbers. You have to subscribe to them. And then, you're not allowed to reveal them. Because then if you reveal them, then there'd be no reason for people to pay for the service. That's why. On certain cases, we can get permission. We can ask for permission to reveal numbers for you. But which we do from time to time. But as it turns out, usually if the numbers are newsworthy and would make for a good story, then all of a sudden, NVD, that's like what the sort of thing publishers don't want getting out. You know, like Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock sells zero copies. Activision doesn't want that. That information.
So you're saying it's more than zero copies. We're narrowing it down.
More than zero, yes.
More than zero copies. Less than a lot. Final question here, or email here from Christian. He says, my friends and I all decided on having a video game themed costume party because it would be awesome.
Because it would be awesome.
Not Halloween, just like a costume party.
Yeah, this was sent on October 12th, so...
Oh, might have been Halloween.
He says, as most brilliant ideas, it was forged in a drunken haze, but as opposed to other such ideas, we made sure it actually happened. Floradoras were served. Oh, and here's a picture of us. This is, Christian and his friends in their video game costumes. So from the left, that's my girl, awesome. Lynn, dressed as Faith from Mirror's Edge. I wonder if you can identify all these comments. So this is Lars as...
The Kid Icarus person?
From Kid Icarus. Yeah. This is Christian as...
Captain Falcon.
Yeah. This is Alex as...
The guy from the Clock Tower series?
Splatterhouse.
Oh, Splatterhouse.
It's Rick from Splatterhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Another Christian as...
Mega Man.
the tallest Mega Man ever, I think. And... what's this guy's name? This is Matt's as
Luke.
I mean Link
and Luke Skywalker.
I gotta admit, it is a pretty terrible Link costume there.
Oh,
it
could almost don't be mean.
Christian says,
no, I gotta.
Matt's is in a terrible Link costume, and I'm agreeing with him.
Yeah.
Well, it's not
agreed.
The best. But he tried, you know.
Which one's Christian? The one that wrote in?
The two Christians are Mega Man and
Splatterhouse guy.
And Pit. I'm sorry. Captain Falcon and Mega Man are both Christian. Oh.
Any girl that dresses up as Faith is instantly like a double thumbs up.
We had an awesome
there was a
Faith.
Hot Faith at the Halloween party.
Tyreek's girlfriend dressed up as Faith.
Oh, don't even. Yeah.
And she looked fantastic.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Next morning, she still had all that tattoo stuff on. Funny. Uh-huh. We went to a dog park and she had it all over her arm.
That's all the scoops I have for you this week. Greg Miller has something to say.
I need help promoting one thing. I've said it on Beyond a few times, and I forgot yesterday to do it. I'm going back to Chicago for Thanksgiving, and I'm holding an IGN meet and greet at Portillo's in Glendale Heights, the corner of North Avenue and Bloomingdale Road. I will be there Saturday, the 27th of November, Saturday after Thanksgiving. Look for details on the blog, and I'll have them officially later.
You're going to put that on Craigslist?
Yeah.
Tonight,
hey, singles and couples, you want to come meet and greet and eat hot dogs and wieners? Come on down to Portillo's.
Tonight in San Francisco, we're all going to Eddie Rickenbacker's. We're meeting a GameStop fan there, actually.
Yeah.
So if anyone listens to this and can make plans
in like 2 hours,
they're like listening, like looking at the watch.
We gotta go, guys.
Coming out at.
Help me get there.
It's like impulse now.
Yeah.
Fear like forms around
the world.
Say the location.
I also just want to say we have not gotten any alcohol in a very, very long time.
Are you jealous?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other podcasts are getting like tons of alcohol sent to them.
They're making calls for it, though.
Well, okay, I don't like, you know, I don't beg for stuff from listeners. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we have not gotten any alcohol in a very long time.
I did not beg.
Okay.
I commanded the Koopalings to send us booze, and they did.
I love you calling
because they obey.
Okay. Are we friends on Facebook? Are you following me on Twitter? You should be. Not only can you keep up with the games I'm gaming and the music I'm making, but I also like to give away codes for free games when I have them. Friend me, follow me. We will be best friends forever. All right, all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. And we're out.
Come get some.
Beware.
IGN GameScoop.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.